All right. Welcome back to the Operation Shutdown, the BearCatOnBeer.com podcast. And I have a very special guest. I'd like to welcome Tierney from Stouts and Stilettos. Say hello, Tierney.
Hi.
For those of you who don't know Tierney, and I don't know how anyone who listens to this podcast could know her, she is the founder of Stouts and Stilettos. Back in 2011, Tierney's passion for craft beer fueled the fire that became the stoutsandstilettos.com. Her website is devoted to all things craft beer from the woman's perspective. Her obsession with outstanding local craft beer then helped to realize her dream, and this is really her claim to fame, in my opinion, the Harrisburg Beer Week, which started in 2015 and grew even bigger in 2016. When not working on those projects, which I don't know how she finds time for anything else, she's relentlessly tweeting about her cat, beer, cheeseburgers, riding her beach cruiser, which is a beautiful yellow, around town. And then she also spends a lot of time playing Pokemon. Is that right?
That's very true. Yes, I spent a lot of time playing Pokemon. Like, not just the new Pokemon Go, like the fancy thing, but like, I've got my Game Boy in the living room. I still play in the living room all the time.
you're old school.
I am old school. You know, I've done it since, my God, when my brother and I were kids, like 20 years or something like that. Yeah. It's very relaxing.
I've never played Pokemon.
Well, Ed has never played it on like the Game Boy either, or most people I know haven't played it on the Game Boy either, except for like my brother and I. It's different from the newfangled thing that everybody's doing where they're falling off bridges because they're stupid and walking around town. But it is definitely addicting and it's definitely calming, and you don't talk to anybody. You just sit there in your own little personal space with your Game Boy and mind your own business. Like, as an overly social person, it's nice to have that little retreat and not talk to anybody for a while.
I like that.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Maybe it's just an age thing.
I'll show you sometime. Maybe then you'll understand.
Yeah, because I need another addiction.
But then I'm going to sit there and I'm going to show you, and then I'm not going to talk to you while I do it. And you're like, wow, Tierney, this is really cool.
I'm old enough that my idea of a Game Boy is the icky green screen and playing Tetris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good too, though. I got a Game Boy Color, which was my like first foray into it. My dad got one and I immediately stole it. And we used to play like Duke Nukem or something like that. And it was super cool. And then Pokemon came out and we got real into that. My brother got older and we got real into it. So we just never kind of looked back.
Nice. Now, you mentioned him. Just so we give our listeners full perspective, you mentioned Ed. Ed is a friend of the show. He's been on a couple times, and he is your bitter half, right?
My bitter half, for sure. Not my better half, definitely.
No, you're the better half. You're the better half.
He has the sentiments that you have, where you guys are just like grumpy guys, and you just are meh, meh, meh. Like, you guys are definitely the bitter half.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so with that introduction, the way we start this show and every show is, what are you drinking? Which tonight? Oh boy! Why don't you start? Night. Yeah, why don't you start? What do you have?
Well, I'm getting ready to open it. I hope you can hear it. That is the sound of a grape Four Loko.
Wow! And I am drinking. Oh God, I can't believe I'm gonna do this. Hold on.
Yes, you can. It's gonna be great.
Oh, I'm drinking it. Oh God, the smallest thing. I'm drinking I'm going to be drinking a watermelon Four Loko.
Oh, you're starting with watermelon.
Yeah. 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 For those of you who may not know, this was a alcoholic beverage that was quite popular a few years ago. Maybe still is popular. It had some real notoriety because it was pumped full of caffeine and a bunch of other stuff. Eventually, it got banned and then it got reformulated. And I've never had it. Now, you have had Four Loko before, correct?
I have. So when all that went down, when it was like the crazy like caffeine, taurine, sugar, 12%, whatever, we were like, well, how bad can it be? And so Shaney McGrady's, the local dive bar in Harrisburg, has them in stock, and they had them in stock, which is where you got yours today. Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. So we had a friend who was a bartender there, and we asked her to pick some up because we had to know what it was all about. It couldn't have been that bad, right? So we get them, and the first night we do this, so it's a friend of ours, Ed, his friend, and me. And so we drink one, and we decide we're going to play Wii, and we're playing the game Just Dance. And we're having so much fun. We don't even realize how annihilated we're getting. We're making so much noise. We had no clue. The neighbors called the cops because they didn't understand what was happening next door. Ed's friend went to open the refrigerator door and tripped at the same time and almost pulled the refrigerator on top of him. And then there was a goldfish bowl on top of the fridge and the fish went under the fridge. It was like the most train wrecked night. I've had a lot of crazy nights, but it literally happened in like a half an hour time span in someone's house in like New Cumberland. It was insane. The cops came. It's never a good time. So I try to stay clear of these because it never ends well. But so today's the day, I guess. Here we go.
We're not going to reenact that night.
No, we can't have all that tonight. It's a Thursday. I'll get sufficiently drunk, but I can't have the cops and goldfish underneath my fridge again, you know?
And I don't know about you, but we're recording on Thursday night. I got to go to work tomorrow.
I have to do that too.
Yeah.
This tastes like grape Kool-Aid.
Grape Kool-Aid? Is that what yours is? Yeah.
I could easily just destroy this.
Before I have it, God, are you really enjoying it?
Because it's like Kool-Aid.
Oh, God. So I'm just looking at the can, and it looks like camo. I mean, it's a camo can with pink. Mine's pink, light green, and dark green. But when you read the can, it's got a big round circle on it, Wii ID, which is... I think interesting because it kind of
are the Four Loko people going to show up at your door with an ID scanner? Like,
right? Look, this is clearly marketed towards the newly minted 21-year-olds and those who maybe just quite aren't there yet.
Yeah.
And God, premium malt beverage with artificial flavor and certified color.
What is a certified color?
I can tell you that the color of mine is like a very clear artificial pink. The color is just nasty.
Mine's definitely purple.
I poured mine into a zero-day chalice.
Oh, you're fancy.
Yeah. Apologies to Theo and Randolin over at Zero Day. But when I was debating about what glass to pour this in, I was like, well, this one's easily replaceable because it's on my way home from work. So if it ruins the glass, I know I can get a new one.
Mine is in a stainless steel cup that came from the Hibernation Brew Festival. It says, watch out for beers on it.
Nice.
It's very cold. It's condensating a lot.
How was that brew fest?
It's pretty good. So the last one I worked, so I didn't really get the full scope of it. But the first time I went, it's a really unique festival. They get a lot more different breweries than a lot of the other festivals. They really go out of their way to try and find more unique beers and breweries. And they do this thing that I have yet to decide if I like it or not, where they do these timed limited releases. So in the middle of the festival, like an hour in, all of a sudden, as an example, the Sierra Nevada table's like, oh, we've got, you know, Bigfoot over here. And you're like, you have Bigfoot right now? And so you're running over to this other table. And then all of a sudden, there's a table of rare beers. And they're like, oh, we've got Bourbon County over here. And you're like, oh, my God. And you're trying to run over there. And it's really cool because they're trying so hard to get these rare beers and give people a chance to have them. But at the same time, you're like, running from point A to point B. And then I'm just like, I'm not running anywhere. I'm going to go stand in the lines you're not in. So like, it's definitely an experience. I would say that they mean well.
Yeah. I've looked into that one, by the way. Thanks for telling that story, cause it allowed me 2 minutes to put off of not actually taking a sip of this yet. So,
oh, I just keep, you haven't tasted it
no,
yet.
No, I can't
do it.
Okay. It smells like a Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, mine's kind of like that. Yeah, I'm still getting way more of the Kool-Aid vibe.
Mm. Wow. That is not good. it's getting worse. Like, I just took one sip.
It's not going to get better.
No, it's not. Oh, God. What have I done to myself? Okay, so
this was your idea. Remember that.
This was my idea. Well, I've never had it, and I know you have, because your story about this is kind of infamous.
Oh, I know. And the second time I drank it was when we lived over New Cumberland, and I remember because my friend Jody keeps buying them for my birthday every year now. She gets me a can for my birthday every year. And so it's like, at one point I had a collection in the fridge, and I pawned off the collection on another friend. I took them to a party and left them there. But the one year I drank it, and because I was like, you know what, let's just give it another go. And I passed out on the couch after drinking one. Now, I am a great drinker. I can outdrink many people. I have one of these and I'm passed out on the couch. I wake up and the first thing I said to Ed was, oh my God, I need to go home. And he's like, we are home? We're in the living room? And I'm like, no, it's getting really late. I have to go. Like, I was so lost and disoriented. I didn't even know I was in my own house. So, yeah, this could get weird tonight.
Yeah, I can see how that. What this does to people. It is 12%, and I can tell you I'm tasting every single point of
that. I taste like Kool-Aid. Did you put it over ice, or are you drinking it regular?
I'm drinking it. I mean, it's cold, but no, it's not over ice. It's just,
oh, see, I poured mine over ice.
See, that was
smart. Cheating.
I got a spit bucket here, so I'm going to be cheating, I'm sure, too. I'm trying to think about how this tastes. It looks and tastes to me like if you took a bromie and you put him in a juicer and then fermented him. Like, it's got that, like, the color of this, the pinkness. It's like
like that fake tan sweat.
God, this is so fucking bad. What I think, like, Fred Durst probably drank, like, every night before he goes out, like, doing some shitty concert.
Well, it's because he did it all for the nookie. He couldn't help it.
Yeah, this is so bad. Okay. I'm gonna take one more sip, and then we're going to move on.
I'm just going to keep drinking this. It's literally like drinking Kool-Aid. I can understand why the kids drank this.
Yeah.
It's sweet. For this grape one, it's easy to drink, and you probably hammered in no time.
Yeah. It is very sweet. It's very sugary. This is basically like millennial Mad Dog 2020, right?
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Because I'm caught right between that, like the millennial age and the like – everybody else's normal age. So like my brother, it's so funny because he's younger than me, would be like, oh, we're drinking Mad Dog. And I'm like, you are? Like, we didn't even do that. So
Mad Dog is so bad. That's bad. I will say this. I think that this is probably better than Mad Dog. Yeah.
I always avoided that. I always drank like Arbor Mist, like nonsense.
Did you ever have St. Ide Special Brew?
No. What is that?
I don't even know if they make that still. That was like a precursor to this. I only ever had the blue one. I think it was like blue raspberry, and it was electric blue, and it came in a 40, and it was sugary and sweet, and you know, it's just a malt beverage bullshit.
Is it like Boone's Farms on crack?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, God. This stuff's so... It's just so awful. All right. We're going to... I'm really at a loss for like how to describe this to our listeners. If they haven't had it, you've got enough information. Just avoid it.
They have it at Shady McGrady's. It's probably $2, and you should probably try it and follow up.
It's actually $3.
Oh, it's up to $3 now. Look out.
I went in. I pulled the two cans out of the cooler. Right. And I'm walking up to the bar. And for those of you who don't know, Shady McGrady's, it's a great bar in Midtown. It's got a fantastic tap list.
Incredible beer selection. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If what I like about that place is if you're looking for, let's say, bourbon barrel aged or like KBS, Kentucky Bourbon Stout, they'll have that. And they're not going to run out of it in 2 hours because... They're
never going to tell anybody because they don't care.
Right. Oh, yeah. They do not give a shit that place. I love going in there. The only complaint is it's a smoker's bar.
It is definitely a smoker's bar. It is thick with smoke in there a lot.
And it is so dark. I mean, it's a great
old real dingy. Bar. It is a dive of all dives. Yeah. I love that bar.
It's great. I like going there. But for the smoke, everything about it is awesome and phenomenal. And they have a great tap list. Mm-hmm. But I pull these two out of the cooler, And I'm walking up to the counter and I'm like, oh God, I can't believe I'm doing this. And I'm just waiting for this bartender to start judging me. But he's just like six, and I've got my credit card out and he's like $6. And I'm like, oh God, put my credit card back. And I just hand him like a wad of cash. Like, I can't believe that this is happening. It's so fucking cheap. You know, I haven't spent $6 on this much alcohol in a long time. $6 barely gets me a 12-ounce pour anymore.
One beer, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, the economics of this totally makes sense.
But I said the same thing the other week. We were drinking Old English. That's what it was. Old E40s. We were having a special kind of day. And they came back with 40s, and it was like $6 for the three of us. And I was like, what are we doing with our lives? We could be drinking so cheaply.
Yeah, but you pay for it in other ways. There's other costs. So I'm coming home then. I got them in just a plastic grocery bag, and I get out of my car. And my neighbor is like, what's that? Are you bringing home some Four Loko? And I go, yeah. And he's like, holy shit, you are. He's
no
like,
way.
Yeah. He was kind of dumbfounded. He's like, I think he was like looking at me like, what is wrong with you? And
oh
like,
my
what
happened?
Like, are you? And he knows what my beer, you know, tendencies are. And he's right. Just like looking at me like, have you lost your mind? What is going on? And I'm like, and then I'm trying to explain it to him. I said, well, and he's like, well, where do you even get that? And I said, well, I went to this shady bar. And well, it's actually named Shady's. And he's just looking at me like, this story doesn't make any sense.
It's incredible. It's an incredible story. I don't even understand this guy. Yeah.
So that was
my day. That is so funny.
Yeah. And I, of course, before I start recording, I'm showing the cans to my wife. And she's like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, I don't know.
None of us know what we're doing right now.
Moving on to.
Yes.
Other things. You write stouts and stilettos. Now, one of my most loyal listeners wanted to know, do you have any recommendations for any really cute shoes? Because are you wearing cute shoes right now?
I have no shoes on right now because I'm at my house and I'm comfy. My favorite shoes though, Guess makes really, really nice heels. They're expensive, but they're really, really nice. The heels that you'll see me out in most at events are like a fuchsia purplish color suede heels. You've probably seen them before. They are like my signature styles and stilettos heels. In fact, a lot of the early logos that we did were actually based around that shoe because it's my favorite. Guess makes really nice heels. And they're relatively affordable in the grand scheme of nice shoes. If you want a good shoe recommendation, if you want some cheap shoes, I go Nine West for cheap ones. But the ones that I have that last the longest are definitely Guess.
Well, good to know. So
in case you need to get some heels, you know, now you know what to do.
I don't, but one of our listeners had specifically asked for that.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So stouts and stilettos, you started this 5 years ago?
Yes.
What made you decide to do it? What's the impetus behind it? You have a theme? What are you trying to do?
Well, here's what happened. So I started drinking a lot of craft beer and I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I, of course, obviously still do. And we would be out, me amongst friends and different people, and they started asking me about different beers that I had and did I have a recommendation for them on this bill? You know, I like this. Do you know anything like that? And finally, one day I was at the Harrisburg Tweet Up, which is unfortunately now defunct, but
I used to go to those.
Oh, it was great. It's how I know everyone I know.
Well, I didn't really go that often. I made to like maybe two or three, but I liked
them. That's how I met everyone that I know. I was there. I will never forget. It was the Christmas one because I was talking about how I wanted someone to make a chocolate peanut butter beer and everyone was making fun of me and was like, only a woman would suggest that. No one will ever make that. And then like everyone made like six of them. But anyways, I was there and I was going on about beer and a friend of mine was like, you know, maybe you should make a website. Like, it seems like people are interested in what you have to say about beer. And I was like, no, they're not. Like, no one cares what I have to say. And he's like, no, just do it. And if no one reads it, no one reads it, but you should do that. And so I started writing it and it was, I don't know, like every month or so I would do like a beer review or something. And I started to find that other women also liked beer and also were opinionated. Imagine that. And also had things to say about beer. So I kept inviting them to use my website as a platform to say whatever they wanted to say. And it started off like real simply. It was me and this woman who lives in DC. She unfortunately had to drop out. She's too busy, which is totally fine. I still love her. Her and I would just like write stuff every now and then. And then Colleen came into play. Colleen and I became best friends, and she would get so mad about like really sexist stuff that would happen within the beer world, or really dumb stuff, like just all this like drama. And she would just be like, you know what? We're all better than this. And I'm like, okay, we'll write it into words and we'll put it on my website. Like, tell everyone how you feel. And it just kept snowballing and snowballing and snowballing. And now I have like 7 or 8 women that write from across the country that all have something to say about the beers that they drink in their beer communities. And they, a lot of them are involved with Girls Pine Out and have their own chapters or a part of a chapter. And like, all we all want to do is say, I like beer. We're all women. We like beer. There's no such thing as gender within beer. It's ridiculous to think that this gender drinks this, this gender drinks that. No women drink beer. And we want other women to drink beer. And you know how girls are. Like, we get together and what your girlfriends tell you is the truth. So if I can get together with the girls and be like, listen, forget this Four Loko. Have you tried, you know, Star Hill's Red Rooster coffee, coffee stout? Have you tried this? That's all that we want to do, is just try and get more and more women into beer and make our voices heard.
That's a good thing. I do think that there is a, craft beer is a boys' club.
It really is. It really is. It's changed a lot in the 5 years that I've started, though. Like, when I first started the site, it was almost weird that people thought that I was into beer. Like, why are you into beer? Like, where are you coming from? What are you about? Now, and maybe it's because I've grown personally as well, but I don't feel as weird about it. There are still some people that you will never change their minds, and it'll always be a weird thing. But, you know, we all drink beer. We all just want to talk about it in the end.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, the craft beer community, the culture around it, to my perspective, is a very progressive group. It's holistic, egalitarian. But it still seems like that there's a lot of inertia towards, you know, being more welcoming outside of the bearded 30-something white guy.
Yeah, and that's huge. You know, the entire craft beer image is white dudes with beards. That's all everyone thinks of. And that's what all the marketing is. You know, the commercials, the minimal amount of commercials for craft beer are hardly there to start with. But even like the big brands with their craft divisions, a lot of their marketing is to the bearded white guy, which is insane because there are an enormous amount of women that are drinking beer, an enormous amount of the Hispanic population who are into beer. I have a lot of African-American friends that are just ecstatic about the beer scene, something that they felt like discluded from, the way I felt discluded from for so long. The Craft Brewers Association just put out a huge statistic about how women and Hispanics are the biggest growing population within the craft beer community. How it's happening, no one knows. You know, groups like Girls Pine Out, people like myself, we all try and be all inclusive, but it's a huge untapped market because people keep focusing on the bearded white guy. I don't even care about bearded white dudes, like at all.
No, I get that. Do you think that women come to craft beer though with a different perspective or a different view of the culture? And if so, what does that look like? Does it matter?
You know, I think we put a lot of stock into this culture that we've created, when in reality, it's only you and your friends. Like, we all talk about this craft beer community, but with the greater population, it's not it's not even a thing. I think a lot of women get into it because they try something and they realize the depth of flavor and get exploratory. And I say that from my experience and the experience of what I've learned from the other women that I've interacted with. So they're used to drinking wine, or they're used to drinking a light lager, or even, you know, around here, we all drink Yingling. And one day there's something that happens to catch their eye, whether it be a nice tap handle or a beer name or a flavor profile that they didn't think about, and they try it and they're like, oh, I didn't know that beer could be like this. And I don't know how many times I have heard people say, I didn't know beer could be like this. I've said it myself. The first time I tried a chocolate stout, I was like, I didn't know beer could be chocolate. That is incredible. And maybe we are a little more open. Maybe we're, you know, women as a whole in our society right now are going through a really, really big progression. We're all moving forward in a really big way. And maybe beer is picking us up along with it. But I think maybe we're just a little open-minded about trying some newer things and exploring flavor paths. Ooh, flavor paths. That's a good word.
I like that.
I like that. Flavor paths. That's the Four Loko talking.
Which you continue to drink, and I, not mine.
It's because I'm drinking it over ice. It's like drinking iced drunken Kool-Aid.
God, the alcohol is really coming up in the nose on this one now.
If I drink it like straight out of the can, I don't think I could do it. Pouring it over ice has definitely made it tolerable. I have another beer here in case I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I don't. I've got a, I've got another Four Loko.
You've got another Four Loko.
Yeah. We'll open that one up in a little bit. Change gears a little bit. When you're writing on your site, are you writing it as a woman? Or are you just writing it because this is what you think about the beer? Do you think about the female angle?
It's a hard thing to say. So I genuinely, when I write about, like, we specialize in the 30-second beer reviews. It's everything you need to know within 30 seconds. We're not dragging it out. When I write that, I
love those, by the way.
I know they're you so do. It's all you need. You know, I don't need to write a dissertation on one beer. You need to know the basics and whether or not you want it. And so when I write those, I take a lot of time to write it, even though it's a 30-second review. I pick the words that I use very carefully, very specifically. I want anyone to be able to read that review and decide whether or not they want to drink it. I don't think about whether or not a man or a woman will drink it, because I don't think that that's a thing. Like, I'm not going to use, like, ladies, it's so good. Like, oh my God. Like, it's not going to be like that. It's very straightforward and professional. There was a point where I thought that I needed to do things a certain way in order to reach women. And then I realized that's the opposite of what we all want. Like, I don't want something that's specifically written to be like, ladies, if you want to drink beer, this is where to do it. Like, it's just so happens that we're all women, and I've grown and we've all progressed through this. And it just so happens that we're all women. It just so happens that we're all really great at beer. We don't exclude anyone from anything that we do. Even when I do, you know, you've come to some of my events that I do. It's not, don't bring your boyfriend, don't bring your husband, don't bring a guy. Like, just understand that, you know, we're going to be really open. We're really going to be trying to bring more women in. But if whoever wants to come can come, you know, whoever wants to read my site should absolutely read my site. You're not going to feel discriminated against. You're not going to get some like weird, like, I drink this beer when I have cramps. Like, it's not going to be like that. Like, sometimes I wish it was, but it's not going to be like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I've been a loyal reader of Stouts and Stilettos since its inception. I think it's a great site. And I, by the way, the redesign has been phenomenal. It is really good.
Thank you. Shout out to Jay Bowser, who is he was with Freefall Creative. Now he is with another company. He did that for me. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is really, it's a great website. And I asked you that question because I think that I wanted to hear it. And I think people need to know how your writing works and what you're looking to do. But I also can say that from reading it, there are times where the all-girl aspect exists in the piece.
Oh, but, certainly.
And I really like that. It is easily approachable. It's a great read. A lot of the ladies that you have working for you are doing phenomenal work. And
I'm constantly impressed with them. Constantly impressed.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. And as you said, there are times where there are things that we almost have to address. You know, there are situations that you find yourself in or things that happen that we have the platform to say it. We're going to say it. You're not going to walk into my site and find like the feminazi feel and you just can't identify. But every once in a while, there's some stuff that you got to put out there. For the most part, it's just really nice beer reviews and event reviews. And Chelsea does a really great job of finding all of these crazy like shirts and accessories and things. Like what I really want to do, and I wanted to do it this summer, I still might do it. Lipstick that lasts through brew fests. That's when you're going to get a little alienated, but like, I really need to know.
I'll read it, but it won't.
You're like, I'm going to buy this maybe for my wife, but like, I need to know like what lipstick is going to make me through a brew fest. Like, that's what I need to know.
You've been doing this for 5 years, and you and I have talked about this before. There are times where it's kind of tough to get the content out, right?
Yes.
And people that watch the site know that I took a hiatus for about 5 months because a number of reasons. But you really don't seem to have that luxury. Like, no one writes it. If I don't write it on Bearcat on Beer, it doesn't go up. I'm a one-man show. The podcast, I get a lot of help. People like you come on. But you're trying to keep an ensemble going, and there's been times where you found it kind of frustrating. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so I do have a bit of a luxury because I do have additional contributors beyond myself. So if I find myself within a lull or severe writer's block, which did happen, my other writers aren't experiencing that and they just keep writing. And, you know, maybe it's not as much of an active month than normal, but you know, everybody, I have one of my writers, she's on hiatus a little bit right now. She has two young children and she needs some time off, and that's fine. And Colleen's got the twins plus her toddler, you know, she can write when she can. And, you know, I'm completely understanding about that, but it was right after Harrisburg Beer Week. And I went right from Harrisburg Beer Week to the week directly after going to Philly for the Craft Brewers Conference. So Harrisburg Beer Week is very mentally intensive, and then during Beer Week, physically intensive. And so I fly right through all of April where I had a personal injury. I had the whole Beer Week and all the stress of that. Then Beer Week itself happens. Then I go into the Craft Brewers Conference. By the time I was done with the Craft Brewers Conference, actually halfway into it, I didn't even care about what was happening there. Like, I was just happy to hang out with friends and go to events. I was struggling to find things to write about from the conference of all places. You know, it's a plethora. It's a breeding ground of content. And I'm sitting there like, I have nothing to say about this. I took a couple, most of May, I really, really struggled to find anything that I wanted to talk about, anything that I wanted to write about. I just wanted to do nothing. I wanted nothing to do with it. And it happens, you know, it's easy to get burnt out on writing or any professional field. I mean, I don't do this professionally, but I almost do. And it's really easy to get burnt out. So I just stopped writing for a while. It was weird, but I had no other choice.
Yeah, I get that. There are times where it's tough to find something. Do you feel
just like finding a topic is hard?
Yeah. Do you feel like you've pushed through it now?
I have, you know, and I actually wrote a post about it because that's what you do. And I am a vigilant reader. I have a feed reader on my phone. I read through basically everyone's beer websites I used to do it every day. I realize that's overkill now. I do it every other day. I read through, see what's going on, keep myself abreast of, you know, the latest trends, the latest news. I like being a little beer Wikipedia in my head. And I slowly started trying to figure out, you know, what do I want to write about? What makes me happy to write about? And not just writing because I have a website and I need to maintain traffic and I have to make sure that people are reading my website. And it's not about the attention of it. I had to regroup on that because for a while it had been about the attention and I had to regroup. And now I actually take my time and think about, you know, when I do my 30-second beer reviews, just because I got a beer delivered in the mail to me doesn't mean I have to write a beer review about it. If I don't love it, I'm not going to write about it. That's it. And actually taking personal time, which is weird, like downtime and not doing anything. Like I'm constantly sitting there like, I feel like I'm neglecting to do something right now. So it's been a journey of late, I would say. You know, once you success is scary. And once you find it, you have to try and balance it.
Yeah, I get that. Part of the impetus for me developing the podcast and doing the operation shutdown was that sometimes I found the writing to be difficult to come by, especially the type of post that I want to do. I'm trying to interweave.
You've got some story going, right?
Yeah, it's and there's times where I'm like, I don't got anything. And if there's not something else to say about the beer, because I think a straight beer review, that the reason why I love your 30-second beer reviews is because that is everything that I need, just like you said, to know whether or not you like the beer and what it, with a good certainty, what I'm getting myself into. And I could crank those out if I had to, but
yeah.
I that's not my bag. So I try to find some other way to weave the story around something else, but sometimes I don't have something else to weave through. So I've got a lot of ideas about beer brewing, and talking them out just sometimes seems easier.
It is easier to sit here and talk than it is to write down yours, because also when you write it, it's concrete.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's hard. Yeah. That is hard to face sometimes.
It is. And then sometimes you don't want to put out the trash, you know?
Well, yeah, I try to avoid putting out the trash. The one time I put out the trash, it it was concrete, and there were, oh God, it was insane.
Yeah, not good. Now, as a woman in craft beer, and you're putting your opinions out there and your ideas, the internet can be a hostile place.
Yes.
You ever had anyone come after you?
You know. There was one post that I wrote, and sometimes I wish I had never written it, and other times I realize it was perfectly written on purpose. So there's a saying within the beer community that beer people are good people. You know, beer people are good people because we've had so many good experiences amongst ourselves.
There's a lot of beer assholes out there.
There's a lot of douchebags. I had a really terrible experience with a collection of douchebags over time. And I decided that I had enough. Now, being friends with you and being friends with a lot of guys, I put up with a lot of shit. And I never consider it as putting up with shit. I'm a good sport. Everything's fucking hilarious. I don't take many things personally. It's very hard to offend me.
I can agree with that.
But over time, some things will offend you. It all started, and I will say it because it's my favorite shirt, my drink beer from here shirt.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember this incident.
And I was sad that I had to write this post about it because I wore it to the Sierra Nevada Beer Camp Festival, and it was great, and it was such a good time. Until some douchebag behind me at the food truck line is like, oh, so that's why they're so big. They're full of beer. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, I can hear you. I'm right here. I am a person. I exist. And I can hear what you're saying about me. And his friend was like, oh, you shouldn't say that so loud. She's going to stab you. And I turned around and I was like, yeah, I am going to stab you because I was so mad because I was drunk. And so I wrote a post about it. And that was the day that I took a lot over that post. Not because people didn't agree with me that you know, sometimes men can be douchebags and women can be douchebags too. And people in general can just be awful. But they called me a hypocrite. They told me that if a woman had come up to me and said that, I wouldn't have been angry and I had no right to be mad. They told me that if I had hit on a guy, how do I have the right to hit on a guy, but a guy doesn't have the right to hit on me? And it just like, it was the most insane thing that I had ever seen. And I was just like, you guys, I was just trying to tell people, like, don't be a jerk. Like, I had a basic message and everyone went insane. For the most part, people aren't bad. I don't think anyone's ever said flat out, people are scared to say things to my face. Even on Twitter, where there's a lot of anonymity, no one has flat out been like, your opinion is invalid. But that day, it was bad. It was real bad.
That is bad. And I think, but that's
unfortunate. But that speaks to like, it speaks to a bigger portion of our culture. It's not just the beer community. It's our whole entire culture is going through a lot right now with that. And I've come to terms with that. I almost have, Ed calls it, I have my like own like bay hive, which I guess is what Beyonce has, where like people will say shit on Twitter and all of a sudden like someone else will come out of right field and be like, don't you dare say that. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. I don't have to say anything now. You know, yeah. It's weird.
That's good. Well, you know, first, thanks for sharing that. And
of course,
I thought that I remember that post. I thought that was a great post. You really did put yourself out there. And I do think that that's one of those times where having a woman-centered website within this broader community is important. And it was good.
Thank you. It was something.
All right. We're gonna get a little less heavy now. And I'm going to... Yes. I've given up on the watermelon. Are you going to
have sour apple?
Yeah, I'm going to open the sour apple. Now, the last one was 12%. This one is still a camo green, but it's all green. God, like 12% wasn't enough. They had to go to 14%. Now, this one has a little bit more information. Premium malt beverage with artificial flavors. No shit. And then it says FD&C blue, number one, and FD&C yellow, number five.
Whatever. Oh, I thought yellow number five was the enemy.
Is that the one that's going to give me like cancer or something?
That's the one that back in the day, that's the one that's in a Mountain Dew that they said like lowers your sperm count or something like that.
Oh, well, I already had my two kids, so I'm not worried about that.
All right, well then you're good. Proceed.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never had the sour apple. I need you to describe it to me in depth because I've had the watermelon, so I need to know about the apple.
So pouring it back into the 0 day glass and again, my apologies to 0 day. It is a...
Oh my God, it's green.
It is so green. It is like an electric green. And now Tierney can see me on the webcam, but for you you at home, this is like an electrified Jolly Rancher. I hate to go back to that description, but that's exactly what it is.
You know when you make Jello and before it solidifies, when it's still like on the stove, this it kind of looks like that lime Jello when it's on the stove before it solidifies. Yeah. Like Ecto Cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, that's something. It's very clear. It's pretty thin. By the way, the last one was really thin in the body too. The smell on this is, it is just terrible. God, it is.
Now, Tell me about the nose.
Yeah. I like sour beers. But this is just like, it's like a sour candy. This stuff really is predicated on just making it taste like candy.
Do you think this is what crackheads drink? I've never been a crackhead before, so I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know. But, you know, I do have a great story about a crackhead, and this is going to give me some time not to drink this beer. I used to live down on 2nd Street in Harrisburg. It was a nice sunny day, and I lived not quite in the Midtown. I lived in the 800 block of 2nd Street. I'm sitting out on the front porch, and I have a can of Miller Lite there sitting with me. I'm reading the book in the sun. It's a beautiful day. And a guy's walking down the street, and this guy's not in good shape. He's he's looking pretty rough, probably homeless, whatever. And he's like, hey, you got another one of those? I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, I worked at the beer distributor. I always had beer. So I just crack that one open. I leave it there on the steps, and I walk in, grab my beer, come outside, toss it to him, and he says thank you and proceeds on his way towards the corner. I sit down, I pick up the can of beer, and it's empty.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, dude.
He chugged that whole thing while you went to get another.
Yeah, he chugged it, and I just opened it.
Serious.
And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, sorry, man. And he's like, and I'm just like, wow. Like, he just really didn't care. He needed it. And
that's something.
Yeah, yeah. I saw him a couple times afterwards. I thought about, like, giving him crap about it, but I figured he didn't remember, so who gives a shit?
He probably didn't.
No. All right, so now I've bought enough time. I'm going to do this.
Do it. Oh, my God, your face.
It's really not that sour. It tastes like a sour popsicle, a sour lollipop.
Hmm. It's like pucker, kind of?
Yeah, yeah. It tastes green in that apple-y kind of way. It's not really apple. It's just like a green, like artificial apple color. It's not good. I will say this. The booze is hidden a little bit better in this one than the watermelon. This one's 14%, but it doesn't taste nearly as boozy as the other one. And it tastes really, it's really bad. It's not as bad as the watermelon. I'd say if you got to pick one, I'd pick this one. I'll tell you right now, I've not had the grape. I mean, these are the first three I've ever had.
I don't want to say that on the radio. They'll be mad at me.
I'm not sure I'm going to edit that out. Sorry.
Wait, they're listening to me again. Shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We were recording the whole time. I'm going to just edit it. I mean, I'll just edit that parts out.
Okay.
So. But not the grape rape. Sorry, that's just too funny.
I don't know why that keeps saying that.
Sorry, because it's funny. That's why. This tastes like something you'd have at like the gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, is green apple Fanta a thing?
I don't know.
How they drink Fanta?
Faygo.
Oh, Faygo.
Right? It's Faygo, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not down with the Juggalos.
Yeah, neither am I, but... Ugh.
I'm cool in a lot of circles, but I feel like that's not one.
Is it Juggalette? Is that what it is?
Juggalette?
The Juggalos and the Juggalette. I'm pretty sure this is basically just like Juggalo ejaculate.
Ew.
That's what I'm going to go with. It is so foul. It's bad.
It's like TMI green.
which is pretty fitting because I live practically in the
you
shadows.
You do.
Of it. Yeah. It does look like it's electrified. It's a stunning color.
It's like the same color as that the green apple pucker stuff that people who drink terrible green apple martinis, which I don't know who still drinks those, but that is what I imagine there.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, this stuff is.
I haven't drank those since high school.
Yeah. God, the here's the thing. The aftertaste on this thing is so long.
Oh, I'll agree with that. As bearable as this grape is, it does keep lingering.
Yeah. It's rough.
I think my mouth is purple.
All right. So enough about Four Loko for a minute. Let's talk about what I'm always impressed by your work at Stouts and Stilettos, but really I think what your claim to fame is really Harrisburg Beer Week, which is your baby.
It is my baby.
You're the founder.
It was my plan, yes.
And in 2015, you guys raised what? Like a couple grand?
We raised $20,000.
$20,000. Wow. Mm-hmm. It was more than I'd remember.
It's more than I ever thought that it would be. I thought we'd make like $5,000 and move forward.
Yeah. So you made, and that was for the Harrisburg River Rescue.
Yes. It all benefits the Harrisburg River Rescue.
And then in 2016, you went bigger and better and you raised $40,000.
We did.
That's quite an impressive number.
It's insane. I'm humbled by the whole event. Like I know that I was a part of it and I did it, but I still can't even imagine that it happened. Like, it's surreal.
you always downplay this to me.
I know.
You really just need to start to own it because you say, well, I'm a part of it. Really, this is yours.
It was my...
Now you have a lot of help. You do have a lot of help.
I have a ton of help. I hate to say that it's mine because I can't take ownership over something that I know that everyone else works so hard on as well.
That's true.
Like it's, I can't, you know, when I went into it, when it was just my idea that I wanted to do this, my unending, uncautiously optimistic attitude that I always have saying, why not Harrisburg? Why not now? Then I could own it and be like, this was mine and this is what I wanted to do. But the whole team, Sarah, Chelsea, Colleen, Jimmy, work so hard that I can't own it as my own anymore. It's definitely our collective effort. Sarah and Chelsea, they work their asses off. And I'm constantly impressed with how much Colleen gets done. I mean, Colleen's got twin toddlers at home. Plus Lena, who's, oh my gosh, she's 4 now. I'm old all of a sudden. But she's got all these babies at home and she gets a ton of stuff done. Jimmy works like 2 jobs and still gets all this done. Like it's not just me. It's all of us now.
Yeah. You guys put in a ton of work and it's a phenomenal event. Now, this was your brainchild though. You came up with it when?
I originally came up with trying to, let's see, 2015, 2013 is when I originally tried to, maybe even sooner than that, I tried to have a Harrisburg Beer Week. So Ed is an Atlanta sports fan, which I'm sure you've heard before now. I never had a team. He roped me in with Atlanta. We go to Atlanta every year. We go to the Georgia Dome and go to a game. The 1 year that we were in Atlanta, it just so happened, unplanned, that we were there during Atlanta Beer Week. And Atlanta Beer Week was super cool. All these rare, it's a lot like Philly Beer Week. All these rare beers, all these super crazy events. And for us, like coming out of town, I'm like, I don't even know what half these breweries are. This is really awesome, et cetera, et cetera. I met the guy who started Atlanta Beer Week and I was like, how did you do this? And blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? If he can do it, why can't we have one in Harrisburg? So when I got back, I was all fired up about it. And I start trying to talk to people that I knew and people I thought were key contacts. And we would have like a meeting or two, but like nothing ever came to be. We kept saying, you know, we want to do this. We should got to file for, you know, we need to be a 501c3. We need to be a nonprofit, blah, blah, blah. Trying to do way too much, way too soon. And it just fell to pieces.
But in 2015.
But then actually the summer before, the spring before, I had said something to Chelsea about, you know, I had always wanted to have a Harrisburg Beer Week. You know, I tried to do it before and it didn't work out. And she's like, well, why don't we just have a Harrisburg Beer Week? Like it was so stupid. Like, what's wrong with you? Why don't we just do it? And I was like, you're right. So I called a meeting. I had Sarah, Chelsea, and Colleen meet up with me at Flinchy's. It was so hot. I was covered in sweat sitting on the freaking patio. And I'm like, you guys, I want to do this. And I remember Sarah was like, so is this like a Styles and Stilettos thing or like what? And I was like, no, this is an us thing. This is a Harrisburg thing. And then I'm like on a soapbox and I'm like giving a presidential address. I'm like, we the people of Harrisburg need to have a beer week, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it was absurd. But then there it was. We all just, I don't know how we did it, but we did it. Now we're so organized and we have like official duties and like spreadsheets and outlines and timelines. And it's so weird, but that first year that we did it, it was like magic. I don't even know how it happened. It just happened. It was incredible.
It was great the first year, and it has some remarkable events. You had even more of them this past year.
Oh my God, so much.
And it's in April every year. Last week of April, right?
Last week of April. We're already planning for 2017, so don't think it's over.
All right. So it's going to be April 21st through the 29th of 2017.
I believe so, yes.
And you're in the very early stages of planning it, right?
Well, right now what we're doing is, so we're redesigning the website right now, which is taking the majority of our attention. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not that crazy. Chelsea is the most organized human being I've ever met in my entire life. She put together a year-long timeline based on when things fell in previous years, when things need to come together so that they can happen within this. And so we're incredibly organized, which is so weird for me. I'm a disorganized mess. I don't plan. I'm just whatever. Right now we are, I would say you are correct. We are in very early stages of 2017, but we've only got about a month of that left before we start trying to get back on getting sponsors in, starting to book the venues for next year because things book fast. Inspiring, keeping it fresh in people's minds, reminding them that this is going to happen. Don't blow your event load early because Beer Week is way more exciting. So just trying to keep people focused.
Yeah.
And a lot of that.
You have some signature events. Will we be seeing those coming back next year?
We absolutely will still have the Friday night kickoff event will always be. That's the ultimate party. Colleen is taking that over this year. So it's going to change up in format a little bit. I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's going to be a party. Like it's not going to be this formal, oh, meet the sponsors. Blah, blah. No, it's going to be a party. And that's the way that it should be. You know, we are celebrating Harrisburg Beer Week. We are celebrating beer. So it's going to be fun. Little Big Beer Fest will always be. Oh my God. It's such a huge success. And it's my favorite too. I didn't even know that half these brewers could make these beers. You know what I mean? Like they really challenge themselves and step outside of the box. So that'll be back. The Battle of the Homebrew Clubs will be back. We're switching some stuff up with that as well, but it'll be there. And we did a homebrew competition last year with the Harrisburg River Rescue. And it was fine, but we think we can do something more fun over at their headquarters. We're thinking about making it a more family-friendly event. We have, they're like a family in themselves, and they've graciously added us to their family. There's a lot of kids running around, not just little kids, but you know, that awkward like 11 to 13 age. And we don't want to impart any inappropriate behaviors or ideas on them because it's beer week. So we're trying to find ways to make it family inclusive. Of course, there's still going to be beer there, but not make it about the beer as much, which I think is a fantastic way to promote beer week in itself. You know, I think about you, like you take your kids out all the time. I don't have kids and I have a cat. I'm not taking the cat to the bar. So, you know, people bring their families out to bars, to breweries, and it's a family thing now. So we need to be more inclusive of that as well. I'm excited about that. That's also Colleen's baby. Now that her kids are older, she's like way in. It's so great. I'm so excited for her.
That's awesome. And the number of events last year was really impressive. You're not enjoying that one.
Oh no, I took a bad sip of that Four Loko. It's getting terrible.
Oh,
I have to finish it. I have to.
You're a stronger woman than
I'm going to be up till like 4 a.m. with all this sugar.
Yeah, that I can't. I got to work tomorrow. I can't do that.
I do too.
You're going to hate yourself tomorrow. So, the number of venues that participated last year was rather stunning. Just so many came out, had fantastic events, lots of really rare or one-off beers, firkins all over the place. It was really great. There is one thing that I think that some of these venues need to do. They need to get in earlier. It seemed like so many came on really late.
So, okay. We, as the event liaison, I set a cutoff date. There are two cutoffs. We do the printed event guide, which I didn't think anybody would care about. It turns out everybody loves that. They like carrying it around. They like knowing. I respect that. I like to highlight it myself. So we do the cutoff for print and the cutoff for website. And if you don't put it on before that, you could be having something, but it's not a part of your week. The problem with the restaurant industry is everything is very last minute and everything is... They have more things to... These bar owners are just making sure that bills are paid and they're managing a lot of stuff. They have a lot on their shoulders. They're and so here I am like...
Yeah.
And here I am like, are you going to be a part of Beer Week? And they're like, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm like, okay, bye. Like okay, sorry. And I get it and I respect it. So it's hard. It's hard to meet that balance between meeting our needs of... trying to make sure that people know that your event is happening and promote things and get it scheduled, but you have your own needs of, I'm in the middle of a Cisco order right now. We're out of peppers. Like, it's a whole different thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. So look, hey, any bar or restaurant owners who may listen to this podcast.
Yes.
Reach out early. Get into the printed guide. If you really want people to show up, get in the printed guide. That's my advice.
Yeah. If you want to be a part of this, tell me now. Like, I'll come stop by your bar or your restaurant at a time that's convenient for you. I won't bother you if I don't have to. And we'll just make it a thing. Anybody that wants to be a part of it, let us just know.
Yep. I love Harrisburg Beer Week. It's one of my favorite things.
Thank you. I love it too.
I write about it the past 2 years. I look forward to writing about it in the future. And more importantly, I love the 717.
I do too.
Yeah.
Remember that time we drank the old 717 can?
Yeah. this is a good story. So at the kickoff event, I got to go to the first one. I got to go to the second one. It's a phenomenal event. The money goes to a good cause. It all goes to that river rescue. Mm-hmm. This year, I decided to bring in a can of the 2015 717, which was a hot mess of a beer. And I'll link to my review of it. I loved it.
I loved it too. I loved it so much more than this year's. I love that hot mess beer. I loved it.
Well, it was bold and it was crazy.
Yes!
It was funky. It was weird.
It was so weird and so good. It was like everything that you could be Harrisburg into a can. Just train wreck.
That's exactly it. And it was, and I wrote, it's still one of my favorite pieces I wrote. That beer told a story. Not all beers do. That one did.
It really did.
The story also didn't last very long.
Well, yeah.
Because we opened a can of it at the 2016 kickoff event, and it was so bad.
It was disgusting.
But I've got some bad news for you. I've got 3 cans of that left, which means...
Of the 2015?
Yeah. I still have 3 cans of that left. Which
it was like acetone last year.
Yeah, it was like nail polish remover. It was really fucking bad.
We tried really hard to drink it too. We were all secretive. We're like, let's go over here and drink this beer. It's going to be so good. And then we drink it. I'm like, oh, I'm dying.
It was terrible. So it was terrible. I hope that 2017 is more daring.
I hope so too. You know, the thing about it is we don't have any control over it, which sucks because you know how all of us are. We're a little bit of control freaks. And so they told us, originally they were trying to tell us that it was going to be this citrus brown ale. And I was like, that sounds disgusting. Like I flat out said, that sounds awful. Like all I could think of was a nut brown ale with oranges. That's foul. So then they're trying to navigate through how they can tell us what it is that they're doing. And the words that they're picking keep sounding awful. They're like, we're going to have like toasted coconut and maple and orange. And I'm like, oh, why? And finally it comes together as, you know, they use the Deer Creek malt, which is awesome because that's local here. There were, I believe, Sunny Bray hops in it.
There were.
I'm glad you remember. That's the Four Loko. I juiced 8 million oranges along with the rest of the team. We were there forever.
And that was juicing. A lot of zest too.
Zesting and juicing. There was toasted malt. There was maple in it. That was Al's big thing. He wanted this maple. I don't know what kick he was on. And I remember when I tasted it before we added the orange, I was like, well, that's whatever. And then I tasted it with the orange and I was like, well, you know, maybe it's just me. I don't really enjoy, I'm not a huge IPA fan to start with. I'm very specific on what my IPAs need to taste like. Maybe it's just me. Everyone loved that beer. And I'm just like, I don't like it at all. Like it sucked. Like I'm at the launch party and I'm like, I'm going to have one and that's it. Like I'm over it. Like I felt so dumb because it's my party. And I'm like, I'm going to drink Susquehanna Stout now.
I wasn't quite as down on it as you were. I thought it was a fine beer.
It's not that it's not a fine beer. It's just not one that I liked.
Yeah, it's not really in your
world. Oh, the train wreck. See, that train wreck original set too much of a precedent.
That
was the thing. It was like a Saison and a pale ale had Ratchet, redheaded stepchild baby that had like tartness and hoppiness and funk and like lemon almost, but not quite lemon. Like,
And the sweetness from the honey.
A little bit of sweetness. Yeah. It was so weird. It was so good.
Yeah, it was.
I guess other people don't share our opinion.
And it was canned, which was nice too.
I do like the can. Well, they had a can issue this year is what we were told, is they had a can shortage, as a lot of people did. So they couldn't can it. But what was supposed to happen is Trogs was supposed to get their crowler machine way far in advance than when it actually came. And ABC was supposed to get a crowler machine as well, so everyone could get crowlers of it. So there was still that canned element. Well, ABC, to my knowledge, still doesn't have a crowler machine. Trogs got theirs in what, June?
Yeah, maybe? It was just this past summer. I was there the first week it came out.
So I don't know what their deal was. It was supposed to be crowlered. I was all excited. That's why we had the crowler koozies this year as a beer week, like tchotchke or whatever.
It was still a fine beer. It just, I give lots of points for daring. Like when I'm judging a beer, if it's daring, if it's out there, if it's something crazy, even if it kind of falls a little bit flat, I still give you a lot of credit.
For trying it, for being exploratory.
Yeah.
Oh man, the Four Loko is making me talk.
Well, with that, I think we need to start wrapping this up. But let's talk about the Four Loko. Let's talk about the Four Loko a little more. Okay, so I'm at the Four Loko website. Now, we've had grape, watermelon, and this sour apple. There are some other flavors. And just reading these is fantastic.
I've had some of them, so I may be able to chime in.
There's a peach.
Oh, no.
There is a strawberry lemonade.
Oh!
That sounds terrible.
Sounds awful.
There's just a regular lemonade.
Mm-mm.
There's Four Loko Gold.
That's the one that I was going to put on the Twitter survey, but I'm glad that I didn't, because I think that one's like 18% or something. No,
it's 14%.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Well, then what's the point of that thing?
I don't know. I'm kind of curious. Like that one's probably really awful.
I would imagine.
Let's see. There's grape. Mm-hmm.
I got the grape.
Black cherry. That one... God, the camo on that one is red and black, and it's just really
bad. And like silver.
Yeah.
I had one of those cans. It's one of the ones I left over at my friend's house.
Yeah. And then there's mango.
Oh. That's
terrible. Fruit punch.
That's the list. Not good.
No.
I know Nicole was really pulling for that. Nicole, Girls Pen Out, my girl, she was really pulling for that fruit punch, but it's not good.
No. I don't think any of them are good.
Do they saw the blue raspberry listed?
No.
So back in the day, the blue raspberry was like the slurpy slushy blue raspberry that you got at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
That was actually really good, because it was like drinking a slushy, and then all of a sudden you're drunk and you don't know why.
I don't buy that for a second.
If I still had one, I'd show you.
All right. Now, Tierney, let's wrap this up.
Okay.
Where can we find you?
Well, on Twitter, if you want to follow Stouts and Stilettos, it's at Stouts Stilettos. On Instagram, it's also at Stouts Stilettos. On Facebook, it's Stouts and Stilettos, because they let me have more space. Personally, if you want to follow me and you want to see all my cat tweets and cheeseburger tweets and nonsense, I'm always Tierney on everything. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Snapchat's just going to be a lot more cat pictures and random drunk things. If you like random drunk things, then you should follow me. That's basically it.
I agree.
I gave up on Google Plus, so
hope everyone gave up on Google Plus.
Thank God. Am I missing something?
No, that's all of it. Sweet. And we're going to put all the links in the show notes.
Awesome.
Thank you for coming on. It was great.
Of course, this is great.
Yes, it was really good. With that, I've got to say, I don't think this was a complete shit show. Therefore,
not nearly as bad as I thought it would be. I'm just chatty.
Chatty's good. This is a talk show. So it's not a complete shit show. So I think we'll do it again. And with that,
yay.
I'm going to hit stop.
Out of time. Bye-bye.